Hi, and welcome back to Let's Talk. I'm James, and this week I'm missing Danny. I'm missing my partner in crime. Oh, first time, I can't tell you how sad I am, but she's off having a fantastic time, which you'll hear more about next week. But this week, more importantly, for Let's Talk Agents this week, I have the fantastic Georgia Padfield. How are you doing?
Hello. Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolute pleasure. I can't tell you how excited I am to have Georgia on. So me and Georgia trained together at drama school, but she's like a butterfly emerged from a cocoon and become this incredible agent's assistant and eventually agent, but we'll get there.
We're only in the first early days.
No, I'm talking about the episode. That's what I need to talk about. You'll be an agent by next week if I had my way, but hey ho. So to introduce Georgia, her pronouns are she, her. You're based in Manchester, aren't you?
Yes.
And where are you from originally?
All over the shop. So I was born in Bristol, raised in York, made in Manchester. That's my saying.
Yeah, I remember you. We had when we were on our Freshers Weekend, we had a great sit down. Do you remember it? It was in that lovely, massive house where loads of the third years lived, and we were out in the garden, and you were introducing yourself.
Oh my goodness!
Can you remember? I remember you talking about where you were from, and I was like, "Yeah, she's well versed in being all over the place."
Yeah.
Which I'd imagine comes in handy now, because I'd imagine you do a lot of travelling with work, don't you?
Yeah, a fair bit. I mean, we try and keep it, obviously, we try and go to all the local stuff, but we're quite lucky that we have a lot of stuff further afield as well. So, yeah, literally all over. We love it.
So exciting. So here we go. We're getting ahead of ourselves already. So the we is obviously Alex Priestley, who you work for. The lovely Alex. I've had the pleasure of meeting Alex twice.
Yes.
I met Alex for the first time when she'd had a few drinks, shall we say.
Alex, drinking, never.
Well, I can't possibly comment on that, but I'm sure.
She won't mind me saying, we're both like a drink. She's taught me all the ways.
I love that so much. And I obviously bumped into you both at the launch event for one of Bamalam's audio plays. So we had an event at 53.2 in Manchester for all the Bens, for all the listeners who listen to the midweek drama also. And I was hosting the event in drag. And obviously, I met quite a few people on that night. There was Julie Hesman-Dalsh was there again, who we've worked with before. And nobody recognised me because I was in drag. And I went, fantastic. So I'm doing all this networking, getting on with loads of industry people that I'm like, oh, this will be great for my acting career. None of them remembered me. And I met Alex the second time after Wendy and Peter Pan, which he came to see your lovely client in. And I went to hug her, and she was initially like, have we met? And then I was like, yeah, we've met in... but you met me as a woman. And her face when she kind of clicked on and realised who I was fantastic. But yeah. So
yeah, no, she does always remember a face. So note that down if you're listening.
Note that down.
She remembers a face.
Well, double-edged sword, isn't it? I suppose that's a good thing of always being on your best behaviour, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. We can get into that later.
Definitely. So what's it like working with Alex? Because you're sat in your office now, and I know the viewers listening at home can't see, but we're on Zoom and we can see the gorgeous office. And I've always thought Alex Priestley Talent has the best agency office going. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I'm very lucky to call this my workspace every day. It's such a lovely space to come to. It's not just your standard corporate type white walled office building. It's quirky, it's got character. Alex has amazing interior design brain, so she always comes in with an idea, and she's like, right, I want this there, I need you to find me this. And obviously I oblige. So yeah, it's just a beautiful space that we were originally next door. So I don't know if you know Manchester, but anyone listening, if you know where the O2 Apollo is in Manchester, in Ardwick, our offices are just over from the Green. We were in the building next door where Bev Keogh used to have her all her castings, and Act for TV used to be there as well. And then last year, so obviously I've worked for Alex for 2.5 years now, and in the first year we were in that building. And last year, the building sold, boring story, we decided, Alex found this room here, which is literally one door away. So we've all moved kind of one door. Act for TV is now on the other side of us. And we're here in this gorgeous room, but we moved in here together. So it finally felt like we were kind of creating the room for us both rather than it just being Alex's office. It's now definitely a shared space.
Which yeah. I'd imagine is quite important when you're sharing clients and you need to be asking things. I bet there's a lot of throwing things across the room.
Literally. I mean, yeah, I can't show you, but our desks are directly opposite each other. Under Alex's desk, she's got her name behind the wall, whereas behind my head, I've got all the actors' beautiful faces. So she stares looking at all the actors all day, and I stare looking at her and her name all day. So I'm always remember who's boss, let's put it that way.
I was going to say, based on your interior design notes about Alex, I feel like that's tactical. I feel like that's a choice.
And you will have seen, if you follow me on social media, our amazing 7-foot mirror.
I was so jealous of it when it first went.
Oh, honestly, she told me the day before we moved in, Georgia, when we move into this new space, I need you to keep me on top of my spending. I can't be spending too much. Next day she goes, so I bought a 7-foot mirror. And I go, right. She's like, but I'm sure we'll get our use out of it. And we have. That's the only reason I dress up to come to work, really, is for the mirror selfies.
To look good.
You know, perks of the job and all that.
Honestly, what do you think are the perks of working for Alex and working in this industry? What do you think you get out of it the most? That's a big question. That was so loaded.
It is a big question. I'm very, very blessed to work with Alex, first of all. I've worked for some other great people as well, don't get me wrong. But when I first joined Alex, our relationship instantly like went from colleagues to friends. And now I'd say we much more than that. We're like best friends, each other's consoles, you know, we've been through a lot together. And that in itself, being in a space where you can just share everything with someone day to day and know that you're always going to be supported, like that's second to none. Like that's, I think that's really hard to find, especially in this day and age. So that in itself is a massive perk. Another one would be the wine fridge.
And where is this wine fridge located, and can I come round?
Literally an arm's reach away from me.
Perfect. Oh my gosh.
So she's got her priorities right, obviously.
Fantastic.
But no, genuinely, it's all the amazing people we get to meet. You know, Alex has always prided herself on representing legends only, and God, is that true? And God, has that been proven by the last couple of years we've had? When it comes to what we're looking for, it's an impossible question.
Of course.
You know, if I knew that answer, if we all knew that answer, we'd all have the best actors,
the perfect
people. Do you know what I mean? It's impossible to say what we're looking for in terms of actors. I think.
Do you know it when you see it, though? Do you think you get a good vibe?
Yes, definitely. Which is something, coming from the acting background, something I never thought I'd really understand.
Yeah.
And it's taken time, don't get me wrong, but I've been doing, not with Alex, but generally agenting world, I've been doing it for over 3 years now. And especially in the last 2.5 of Alex, I've really learned how she gets that instinct from people, and I'm starting to get my own, and even me and Alex have very different views on people sometimes, but that's the whole part of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
But so in terms of what actors we're looking for, it's kind of impossible, but you know, and some people go to the cover letter. It's like, oh, what should I include in that? It's like, oh, I hate to say it because it sounds a bit controversial, but it kind of doesn't matter what's in that letter because ultimately I'm going to look straight at your headshot, straight at your CV, straight at your showreel. And then if I'm still interested, I'm going to come back to your cover letter and see what you've written in there that makes you interesting. Yeah. But that's not the bit that I'm focusing on when people say, oh, how should I put my cover letter? What should I include? That kind of doesn't matter. I'll ask you for more if I'm interested.
I used to get terrified about doing it. I used to, one, think that I was wasting people's time. Two, I thought I'd come across as too snobby sometimes. I was like, I just feel weird. And the moment I started writing to people like a normal human being, it changed everything. And going on headshots, I'll live and die on the cross by saying the right headshot changes the game for you. And it really does.
It does. It's again, even since when we graduated, headshots have changed probably twice in terms of the kind of thing that we need. And it comes back to what we look for in a client, but it's a personality. Everything is, at the moment, personality.
Yeah.
They want to know you. We want to know who you are. Who is the person that's going to walk in through that door? Yeah. If I don't see that on the picture...
Yeah.
You're not inviting to me because it's like, oh, I don't know how he's or she gonna or they's going to come across.
That's such a good point. So
I need to know that you're approachable and you're friendly and nice to work with as well.
That was the biggest thing for me on my last round of headshots. I had these really dark, broody headshots, and because I'd had some really nice, clean ones the time before, and I was like, I need dark and broody next. I need to get on that BBC drama. I need to get in the room. And then looking back on them now, I was like, well, that's not me. I was in a leather jacket. I was really broody. And I was like, well, that's not James.
Exactly. And we want hints towards those characters, of course.
Yeah. Like,
we need, you know, casting directors do need to kind of have it thrust in their face. Like, look, I can do this kind of role. Of course we need that as well. But ultimately, it's about putting those characters into your personality than completely changing your own personality to fit something else that you're never going to be.
It's so true.
Because day to day, you're not going to be that broody leather jacket.
No.
Serial killer guy, probably. No. I hope not.
Well, chances are. Like, you never know.
So, but we know that you're good enough to potentially play those roles. So let's just make that role your own, rather than trying to fit this, what you think they want from you. Because as well, on that as well, there's so many different spectrums of a certain type of character. So how do you know that headshot that you know looks really gritty and dark, it doesn't fit their version of gritty and dark?
Exactly.
So you're pigeonholing yourself before you've even, you know, given anyone a chance to see what you're capable of as an actor. So it does come down to personality in every single thing at the moment. And again, when it comes to people, we want to know that you've got an interesting life as well and you're not just totally focused on this world. And don't get me wrong, you need to be committed and you need to be driven. But no one will, Alex says this, no one will survive in this industry if you haven't got other things to look at too. Yeah. If you haven't got that time out to be like, actually, I'm going to take a step back this week. Because you get wrapped up in it, and
hugely.
He won't mind me saying, but I had a chat with David last week, David Carpenter.
Amazing David. So David was in Wendy and Peter Pan with me at the Leeds Playhouse. Icon, queen on the Bay.
Absolutely. Yeah, so he's just going crushing into it. Film series 4 of The Bay. They've just started filming. Very exciting. Obviously, David's story is a bit different. It's not your standard story. He was, you know, the classic tale of, oh, I got an agent and then I got a job and it was a really big job. Yeah. You know, and it worked. But God,
so does he
grafted.
Doesn't
he? Yeah. Yes. Oh, my goodness. He grafts day in, day out. And I had to have a chat with him last week or a couple of weeks ago and say, you're actually working too hard because you're losing your personality when you're going into these tapes and you're going into these auditions, because you're so, you've done so much development on these characters for a two scene take, which don't get me wrong, is amazing, and I don't want anyone to stop doing that. But don't lose who you are within these characters.
Why you got the part in the first place.
Yeah, because that's what makes you good for the job, is that you found something that connects you to it.
Yeah.
And it's the same with outside life. You need to have these things that keep you grounded as a human being, not just as an actor. Otherwise, you'll lose sight of why you're doing it, and you'll lose sight of yourself.
It
always has to come back to you.
Yeah, I definitely can relate to that. And specifically being at David's age, that... I think he's just 18, 19.
He's a baby.
Totally. And we were at drama school at that age. And looking back now, I see why people have a year out and come back later, because my perception was very much in line with what David was doing. It was the, I have to be professional at all times. I have to put everything in. And actually, it got to the point where people had asked me, so what do you do outside of acting? And I was like, acting.
Exactly. And it is hard because we do, you know, and I come from that drama school background as well. Like, when you come out into this world, you're like, well, that is all I want to do. That's all I know how to do.
Yeah.
What do you mean I'm supposed to be doing other things? Like, this is my whole personality. Yeah. Hello. So you do, we come out of training or after our first job, like, oh, I just want to keep impressing people.
Yeah.
But the minute you stop trying to impress people and just hope that you like the people that you're going to meet and like the scripts that you're being given, the whole thing shifts and it works in your favour. And I'm not a massive, you know, spiritual person, but the universe does listen. And if you're, you know, keeping things positive and not constantly thinking, oh, I don't fit that. If you're saying, oh, I could see myself doing that. Things just open up for you so much more.
Hugely.
Stop putting yourself in these boxes that you think people want you to be in, and just find one that fits you.
That's such a good point, because a lot of people, specifically when they're on... and they've got an agent and they're out working in the industry and they see other people having success. Like, I remember being on, David was just coming off filming for The Bay when we were doing Wendy and Peter Pan. And I remember listening to him talking about it. And I was like, this is incredible. You've had this such an amazing experience. I was like, oh gosh, I wish I had that. And then you have to pull yourself back, don't you? And say, actually, no, my journey's different. But a lot of people... And when you're on an agency's books and you're one of maybe 50 for a little boutique agency, or maybe you're one of hundreds on a bit like the Independent and Curtis Brown, what are your opinions on those agencies where you're maybe a big fish in a small pond, or a small fish in a big pond? How do you think you navigate that?
I think... obviously, there's no beating around the bush. Those agencies that you mentioned are hugely successful, have amazing talent on there. And, you know, I think we would all agree they're obviously a different level to us. But also, all of the actors on those books started somewhere. Mm-hmm. So it's, you can't find this information out generally. But it's always interesting to see where those actors were at before, and who were the agents who built up their CV enough that these bigger agents were then like, yeah, okay then.
I'll take that.
You mean business. Yeah. And it's part of the industry, you know, it happens. We know that people might want to move on eventually, although we don't necessarily like it. But we understand that that's how it goes. But it's about not running before you can walk. Make sure you've got those kind of day player build-up roles. You've got a solid CV. Because the thing is, in these massive agencies in London, they're getting amazing gigs, amazing auditions.
That's the thing for me, amazing auditions. Oh, so-and-so's getting this, but are they getting the job? Or
exactly. So some people will be going up for, you know, series regular lead on the new Netflix drama, number one cast. But Keira Knightley's also going for that.
are you going to get it or Keira Knightley?
Yeah, like, I don't know why she was the first actress that came into my head, but they
yeah, very, quite old school now, actually.
Yeah, I know, yeah. That just shows our training and what what was big for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel old.
I feel old.
Yeah, but it's true, isn't it? Like, that's happening a lot more often in yeah. those agencies. Yeah. You know, the bigger names, the bigger talent are going to get those massive regular roles.
Yeah.
And I feel like those agencies are less interested in the smaller roles mm-hmm. that are going to keep you working. So, this yes, you're getting this amazing, you've had this amazing audition, but how long has it been since your last job?
Yeah.
That gap is very quickly getting bigger and bigger, and suddenly it's been 3 years you've not worked and you've not got any footage to show
yeah.
from anything recent.
That was a huge thing for me when I was casting Doctors in 2018. I've not had any more TV work since then. It almost becomes null and void, doesn't it? That footage, because
yeah.
essentially it's so long since. I mean, pre-pandemic, even those two worlds don't even. Count the fact that it's another year on top of it, but
yeah.
even the pre-pandemic, post-pandemic split, that's a huge chunk of time as well. So
yeah, it is, and things do move so quickly, and footage does get old really quickly. And again, obviously, everyone knows, it's no disrespect to any of these agencies at all, what they're doing obviously works because they're huge and successful and doing yeah. amazing things. What we pride ourselves on, though, is keeping people working and taking stepping stones. We don't, you know, on the off chance, David's again, perfect example, sometimes they are going to land that huge role. Yeah. And that's not because we do get the big roles in as well, but we're also really good at keeping connected with the day player roles and making sure that we're building people's CVs up bit by bit and keeping people on the same level in terms of, right, yeah, I know you want to do that lead in the new yeah. drama, but we're probably not ready for that yet. And although we're putting you up for it, and there's every chance you'll get seen for it, the yeah. likelihood is you're not going to be at the same level as the other people they'll be seeing.
Yep.
So let's build it up and get there. So then when those tapes do come through, you're like ready to smash it. More so in that respect. But then having said that, you know, we've got Natalie Blair just announces the new lead in a Netflix drama. That's her first job out of drama school.
Oh no, we've got blah blah doing this.
Yeah,
blah,
oh
blah,
no,
doing
what
that.
A shame. So it's not to say we don't do anything by a book, you know, but we pride ourselves on the development of each artist, and that is why we only have a small amount of actors on the book. If we had many more, we would really struggle to commit that time to each actor, because a lot of actors, I hope, would agree that we spend a lot of time with each person. We speak to them all a lot, probably too much. They're probably sick of me calling them. but if I'm not talking to them, there's probably a problem.
Welcome back. So we are on to my favourite part of the whole show, Georgia. So Dani, if she was here, she'd tell you how much I love this. In fact, we both love it. So let's talk videos. We obviously share a video. We've asked Georgia to select a video that reminds her of anything to do with agents, and I've done the same. So I love this because of how random it gets. So I'm getting excited already. Georgia, would you like to press play on my video?
Of course. Hold on, let me find it. Okay.
Coming.
Oh yes, I know what this
Hi,
is.
I'm here to see
Estelle.
Just a moment. Let me see if she's in.
Hello.
Hello.
You're Estelle Leonard?
I know. You weren't expecting someone so fantastically beautiful. So,
I love how young Joey looks in this
take
as well.
A load off already, darling. Mm-hmm.
Young Matt LeBlanc.
Miss Leonard, I can't tell you how excited I am just to even be here.
Why not?
Look, what I meant
you
was...
You don't mind if I eat while we talk, do you?
No.
Zoe, sweetheart, let me ask you a question. Did you ever see the movie Sleepless in Seattle?
Yeah, wow. Do you represent those actors?
No. But you know, at the end of the movie, the part where they're all so happy with each other, that's gonna be you and me.
Wow, you mean you wanna sign me?
No, I wanna go up on top of the Empire State Building and make out.
Oh,
that's
so funny.
So good. So obviously, the links are on all our socials now if you want to head over and watch with us. But for those of you who aren't, I'll tell you what that was, what you're listening to. It's Estelle and Joey from Friends. So Estelle is Joey's long-term agent throughout the whole series. And she actually dies in the end, doesn't she? Do you remember that?
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. I mean, it was 20 years ago. It's fine. Nearly as old as us.
Oh, honestly, I'm obsessed with Friends. I watch it on repeat nonstop.
It's just so easy to watch, isn't it? It's easy to put on in the background. I know there's some problematic things in it that, looking back now, I'm like, oh, but...
Yeah.
In terms of problematic old dramas, it's definitely not up there, is it?
Exactly.
No names, Matt Lucas and David Walliams. No, even those, though, I look back and I go, they're very much a product of the time, aren't they?
Exactly, that's it. And I think you do have to remember that to a certain extent.
Definitely, definitely. Definitely certain. Not holy.
No.
Definitely not. But very much the case with Friends as well, in terms of this representation of what an agent is. I always love that it was the same with Penny in Big Bang Theory. The idea that these actors get these massive auditions every week and that they can live in these really lovely apartments. I was like, no, for Joey to, I mean, I know Chandler does help him with stuff, but even then I'm like, how did he afford to live in New York doing those auditions? But yeah, I just think it's a very interesting sort of picture of what an agent should be or is like. And she's very chaotic. Watch Friends if you haven't.
She is very chaotic, but I mean, we're not like Estelle in that, but I do, you know, whenever I go on a first date, that's definitely a good comparison. When people don't know what an agent is, I'm like, oh, you know Estelle from Friends? Yeah, I'm just like her.
Do you do the voice? You're like, I'm Estelle.
Yeah. Just get a fag out. You know?
Yeah. Light it at the table.
Yeah.
George, you can't smoke in here. Yes, I can, darling.
I'm Estelle. I do what I want. that we just did that. There you go.
I know. Hey, so there's the acting coming back. We'll talk about that in part three.
She does pop out every now and again.
She pops out.
Yeah. But yeah, she is an exaggeration of what we do to a certain extent. And I think that clip in particular is a perfect example of how we're just people in a room, because she's there eating a sandwich while she's chatting to an actor. Like, it's just a normal conversation. We're not on any hierarchy, and Estelle definitely doesn't put herself on any hierarchy.
Definitely,
you know,
not.
She is what she is. You either like her or you leave her. And I think that's a perfect way to kind of sum it up. You're either going to get on with someone or you're not. Let's stop trying to put these people on these pedestals that they're going to do anything, you know, they're these gods or angels from above that are going to change your career. And they're a perfect example of a partnership, Joey and Estelle. As hilarious and caricature it is, it's actually a much more humble way of talking about the industry. I do think it's different in America. Obviously, I'm speaking from a UK point of view. I do think it's harder in the US to have that. I think there is still very much that hierarchy of agents are quite mysterious over there, actually. We've been looking into it lately, and it's like, it's actually hard to find who's who and who's top dog. And,
yeah, who's reputable and...
Yeah, they're all kind of underground over there, so that's interesting. But in terms of the UK market, it is much more like, we're all on the same page, we're all on the same team. We all just want to work in the industry.
Yeah, so true. Well, that was my video. You can go and watch it. That scene, along with a few others, I think it's like Estelle's best bit. So go sink your teeth into that if you don't want to watch all 10 seasons of Friends waiting for her to pop up. She definitely doesn't pop up as much as I want her to. I will say that. But let's watch George's video now. I'm very excited for this.
Maintenant, Cécile, tu fais super mal le cheval, là. Tu m'avais dit que tu maîtrisais à fond, mais tu maîtrises rien du tout, là. Tu m'as menti, en fait.
Gabriel, arrête. Gabriel. Bonsoir.
Everything that drowns me makes me wanna fly. I've been losing sleep.
Dans cette agence, il n'y a que des stars.
La force d'un acteur, c'est sa fragilité. C'est comme un verre en cristal.
Julie Gayet et Joey Starr ont disparu. Garderie.
Non, mais ils veulent pas juste faire leur métier.
C'est vous, ma famille. Vous et mes acteurs.
Il y a certaines facettes de notre métier qui m'échappent encore.
Ça promène, hein?
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting. Tell me about it, because I've not watched this, but I really, really want to.
Oh, it's just fantastic. So this is Call My Agent. And some of you might have heard of it as 10%, which is the UK version they've just done. However, if you've not watched the UK version yet, I would urge you to just go and watch the French one. Because it's just done so brilliantly with these amazing French actors. There's some huge names in it. And basically, it's just a story set in an agent. A film crew are set in this agency, and they just go about the lives, day-to-day lives of these agents and what they have to go through every day, even down to the assistant on the door who's letting all these actors in and things. And it's more set up in an agency style of what you might see at like United or Independent. It's that kind of level agency.
Busy, busy, bustly.
Yeah. So there's a lot of people, you know, in Alex Priestley, it's just me and Alex. So that kind of gives you an idea.
What, that actually, I kind of undersold. Yeah, but still, underselling you a bit. When I say busy, busy, I just mean more people.
In terms of the
work that you're doing.
that's another story. it is these big league agency in Paris. And basically through the series, you go through the lives of the agents living alongside their actors as well. So you see all the trials and tribulations that they're trying to deal with their own personal life, as well as juggling the lives of the 40, 50 actors they each represent. And I think it's so easy to forget that all these people have their own lives going on as well. So when we're, you know, calling up 30 times a day trying to get your train booked down to London tomorrow to make sure you get there on time, at the same time, I've got another 30 actors like worrying about schedules and call sheets and auditions and self-tapes and all that. And I'm also worried about what I'm doing tonight and all the drama that's going on at home with mom and her boyfriend and, oh my God, what's going on? How am I going to sort that out? And I think that is the most chaotic sum up of an agent's day-to-day life. And if you haven't watched it, I urge you to watch it because it just gives a perfect idea of what agents do day-to-day. And like I say, it is an extreme version again, but also that's only extreme because they represent these huge names in the industry, not because what they're doing is actually extreme, because they do go above and beyond for their clients and their talent, and so do we. So I think on that level, it brings us all together.
We love accurate representation in the media.
Yeah.
Welcome back. We are at the... Well, we're not at the end, but we're coming to the end of this amazing amazing show. I've turned into Sean Connery. What's happened? See, for those of you who are listening and didn't see me, Georgia knows this. I started this episode with a gin in hand. I finished the gin, and now I'm just going to be on the floor by the end of the episode. Apparently, one
That's
gin,
That's
the
one James
day.
I know and love.
There she is. She's back. Honestly, can't talk for toffee tonight. No, we've come to the end, and we're just going to wrap this up and talk about some more really exciting bits about Georgia. So we've stumbled on it all night about this, and this episode has teetered around you being an actress. So
what?
What? When was this? So me and Georgia trained together at drama school, and what made the switch? Tell us a bit about your process with that.
Yeah, I mean, it isn't something I ever thought I'd be doing. You know, I was my mom threw me into dancing, acting, and singing classes at the age of three because I was such an attention-seeking little that she needed rid of me for a couple of hours a week. So she threw me in all the performance things, and I took to it. And I always used to say, from the age of three, I knew I wanted to be an actor.
And you were still are a bloody good one. Let's not forget that. This isn't a story of she wasn't good enough. She was very good. She was very good.
You know, it was never something I thought, oh, I'm going to try acting, see how it goes, but I'm actually going to give this a go. It was always, I was always all in. When I graduated drama school, I was fortunate enough to sign with a cooperative agency in Leeds. And for those who don't know, a co-op agency is where the actors work as the agent as well. So it's all a collaborative process. You have to do 2 days in the office a month and be subbing all the other actors for stuff alongside yourself. You're your own agent
It's actually a really nice way of working because it keeps your finger on the pulse, like we were talking about earlier.
It does. And it teaches you so much about the industry, especially as a graduate coming out of drama school. There's so much that training doesn't teach you.
Massively.
And being on that side of the computer screen, seeing the stuff that was coming in, seeing the sort of breakdowns that how they were described, the different casting directors' names that I'd never heard of before, because how do you learn them? There is not a book that says these are the people you need to know.
No.
It's really hard. So that was a really useful agency for me to be signed with straight out of drama school. And as the first year went on, I did a couple of gigs. I did a film, I did a theatre show, I did a couple of like training videos and stuff. You know, I ticked the little boxes.
The job in actor.
Yeah, definitely. Alongside rubbish Aldi job, a very fun Anne Summers job, and also
love that.
Yeah, also part-time as a dinosaur trainer.
I totally forgot that. Georgia the Dino Wrangler.
Which is one of my kind of, I am an actor, but it's kind of corporate-y work. Doing big gigs and things.
Honestly,
like that.
Medical role plays are a huge thing for people.
Yeah,
so
amazing.
Actors do medical role plays, and that's where you get hired. Well, it's not the NHS. I genuinely can't talk tonight. What's happening? No, you don't necessarily get hired by the NHS directly, but it's for the doctors training people who need patients, people to play patients with symptoms, and you go in, you're given a description, and you play that character. Maybe they're being, well, this is extreme, but being abused at home by a spouse, so you have to come in and play that character, and then the doctor has to diagnose you and notice these other things that are going on. Basically a successful way of teaching them to diagnose patients, and you can get paid a ton of money doing these sort
of
corporate
events.
That's
the thing about jobs like that. You need them because it means that you don't have to be in Aldi 7 days a week.
Exactly.
It means you can do one job a week on these role plays, because you get paid between £150 up to £500 for some gigs, for corporate gigs. I actually run the corporate sector here at APT, so we're getting a lot of people in for banking training videos.
So good.
Everything. And you know, it's not something to poo-poo at all.
No,
because
pays your mortgage.
It's invaluable training for you as well, because
yeah,
you're working on your presenter skills, you're playing real life people in characters, because they're usually, you know, verbatim text that you're having to learn. And it's very quick turnaround, you know. It's like, right, we've got one take, film it and go, and then that's it. So definitely get on the corporate game, because it's really imperative towards your career, I think. But yes, anyway, I digress.
Well, no, that's a really good point, because that's how the cooperative agency has guided you, set you into this, and it's really screwed your head on to make you know what you're looking for. from clients. And you know what sort of these people who do snub the nose up at certain work, it's kind of a red flag, isn't it, really?
It is a bit, yeah, because, you know, to a certain extent, obviously there are some actors who
just don't want that work.
Yeah, and if you don't want to do something, we're your agent at the end of the day. I'm never going to force you to do it. But we're always going to look at, as our job, it's our job to go, okay, I understand that you don't want to do it, but let's talk about why.
Yeah, yeah.
And then see if there's a middle ground we can meet, because I need to know to not put you up for this stuff.
Yeah.
But also, you need to know that you might not be working for 6 months. So would you rather not work for 6 months, or would you rather take
these jobs?
A random day job.
So true.
So it can be a bit of a red flag when people instantly come in and say, I will never do this.
Yeah.
I will never do this kind of work. Or I will never do commercials, or I will never do theatre. All of those quotes are extremely valid.
Yeah.
If you don't want to do those things, that's fine. But commercials are another great example of, no one likes doing commercials, especially not the auditions, because they ask you to basically create the commercial for them, self-tape. And then they just say, oh, well, go show to someone else. You've got about half an hour to do it, and that's it.
I will tell you this story. I will not name names. It was for a popular fast food restaurant. Shooting a very, very nice commercial. It was abroad. I was like, oh, I'll go for this. I had to stroke a tree. I had to pick up a cushion and pretend it was a cat, because I didn't have a cat handy. And I had to look off into the distance in wonder. Those were genuine notes.
It's like being back in first year.
Honestly, it was like being in training all over again. But anyway, I'm sure there's a whole episode that we could talk about on commercials. But what are some more red flags for you as an agent then, and Alex? What do you and Alex just instantly go, whoa?
It's hard because, you know, a lot of the time...
It sounds like you give people the benefit of the doubt.
Exactly. A statement can easily be held up for a good reason.
Yeah.
But it is a bit of a worry when people say, I will never do this.
Yeah.
And it's like, I understand, even if their reasoning is completely relevant, it's like, okay, but what if... So say you don't want to do theatre, what if the National phones up tomorrow
and wants
you this role? Are you going to say no? And if you genuinely would say no, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if you want the National...
Yeah, but you're not willing to do the work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's exactly things like that. And that's when it would be a bit of a red flag. Oh, yeah, I'd say yes to the National. It's like, okay, well, why would you not do the regional stuff then? It's a whole different ball game, and that's the same with any job. Like, I understand if you don't want to do stuff, and ultimately that's your choice. But if you want me to completely never sub you for those things with a potential, if you don't trust my thought process behind putting you up for those jobs, then we're going to have a problem.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're open to me saying, look, I know you don't want to do this, but the reason I think you should go for this one is because I know that this director is now going on to this thing.
Yeah.
And you getting in the room with him could be really helpful to then getting that job that ultimately you said you wanted to do.
It leads on to something
that
else.
Is the conversation that we want to be having. So the biggest red flag for us is not being able to talk to us and have an honest conversation. Because we can be... very honest. I was speaking to an actor just last week and saying, oh, sorry, this conversation is, you know, I've been a bit brutal there, a bit blunt. And she was like, well, I need that. My last agent never told me how it was. They just, okay, yeah, cool. Well, and listening to you say, no, actually, I want you to do this and this is for why is really eye-opening.
Hugely. So, and you touch on there being subbed. So subbed. If anyone's listening and going, what's subbed? It's being submitted. So your agent puts you forward for a job, and then the casting director handpicks who they want and invites you into audition. But in terms of being subbed, so you're subbing unlimited amounts of people for unlimited amounts of jobs, it must feel like.
Yeah, it's never ending.
Never ending. And that's seriously, I say unlimited, that's a bit of hyperbole, but one actor could be submitted for 50 roles in a day. If the roles are there, can't they?
Potentially, yeah, 100%. And that's definitely a possibility.
I know this happens quite a lot, and people say, do you and Alex send out your sub lists to clients?
We will if they've asked for it.
Yeah.
And depending on how long it's been since they've last seen it.
Yeah. So every agent's different.
Yeah. It can be a bit negative to see that you've been
subbed for so many
roles and not seen.
Yeah. Obviously. And so, it goes the same way, like, if there's not been anything for you to be submitted for, although there will be, and I've always said this, if you ask your agent for your subs list, most of the time there won't be an issue. I mean, I know there are some agents that get really funny about it, but
I think the problem can be is that some people, before you ask for your subs, I think it's good to question why you're asking for them.
Hugely.
And is there a reason that you've not heard from us, or... Yeah. Is there a reason you've not been called into some rooms?
Well, I always think it's taking time away from you submitting you for more work.
Potentially. I mean, it doesn't take long at all. And like I say, we genuinely don't have a problem for sending them out. But it's definitely a flag for us. Not a red flag, just a flag for us. Okay, actually, yeah, you're right. We haven't spoken to you in a while. Should we have a look at why that is? Because it's so easy for us to forget. We are seeing your face every single day.
Yeah.
A lot of times. We're writing emails about you that you
all the time,
might never even find out about. It might never come to fruition. So we don't tell you about some of the stuff that we're doing for you because it would get your hopes up for nothing.
Do you ever?
We're talking about you all the time and we forget that you're not hearing us.
Yeah.
So when some people say, like, oh, I've not heard from you for ages, are you doing this, are you doing that? It's like,
that's what I was
going to
ask.
Well, I'm talking about you all the time, like, but I can't tell you that I'm talking about you all the time, but I won't be talking about you all the time.
That's so true. That was going to be my next question. Do you get people who are like, are you submitting me for things? I've not spoke to you. I've not had an audition. It must be quite hard for you when you're putting all this work in and you and Alex are literally sat at your desk typing away, sending these emails, bigging people up to the nth degree. And then you get, I presume you do get some snarky
emails.
We do
have some, yeah. And again, that's not a knock to the actor at all, because it's easy for us to forget that you're not hearing from us.
Yeah.
If we're, you know, like I say, we see you every day on the screen. We forget that we've not actually seen you or spoken to you sometimes. And because we are so lucky that we are so busy, it's easy to get distracted by some of the other stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
To then come, you know, I think maybe every couple of weeks, me and Alex will come across people and think, oh, we've not spoken to them in a while. Let's make sure we check in. What have we missed on here?
Yeah.
People will email and say, you know, I've not heard from you. Have I been subbed for this? Have I been submitted for this?
Yeah.
I've seen this. Have you done this? And that's fine to do.
Yeah.
We always say, Alex always says, we want to hear from you. Even if you think you're bugging us, you're not.
Yeah.
Because we need that check-in from you just as much as you need that check-in from us.
Yeah.
We want to know that you're still bothered enough to say, I've seen this, have I been submitted, and if not, why not?
Yeah.
Because then, 9 times out of 10, we've already submitted you for it. If for some reason we haven't, you've flagged it, so now we can go and make sure it's done. And if the casting's closed on Spotlight, we can send an email and say, don't know why this was missed, but you need to see this person.
Yeah.
It does happen, and, you know, we're only human at the end of the day. It's very rare that we'll miss things, but we need to know that you're doing your part as well at the end of the day.
It's a 50-50,
60-40 to the agent, to the actor, I would say. So, you know, it's your career at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yes, we're here to support you and obviously ultimately guide you through it and give you the guidance that you may or may not need and get you into rooms that you feel that maybe you can't get into. But we can't do everything for you.
Well, you're taking, we can't do 10%, everything for, aren't you? You're not taking 100%. Like, I always think, know what you're essentially... what you're paying for. But a really good point, and I'll ask you this, we'll finish on advice for people seeking representation, but never pay for an agent. So if there's a subscription or they're making you pay a deposit, whatever it is, an upfront fee, never pay for an agent.
I will say that now, actually, just while I've got you, there are some agents at the moment doing some rounds who are asking for upfront fees and for website fees.
Ignore them.
And for admin fees. Please don't
No.
be fooled. No matter how eager you are.
You don't want to be represented.
It's not worth it. You don't want to be rep by them. They're money focused and not career focused. And that's...
Your agent should only take money off you at the point of you earning from a job they've gotten for you.
Yeah.
Or exactly. had a hand in getting you.
Yeah.
Just ask yourself that. Do you feel like you're getting that 10% worth of time? And like you've just said, have the conversation, have a open dialogue with your agent, because if you can't do that, maybe they're not that's the right agent for you.
Exactly. And if you genuinely feel like, you know, we've had some actors ask us on other you know, chats where it's like, well, how long should I wait until I've not heard from my agent before? And it's like, oh gosh, if you're already thinking about that, there's already a problem.
Yeah,
it's already been too long. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're thinking, oh, when should I speak to my agent next? There's a problem, because, you know, it's not an exaggeration when I say we speak to most people every week.
Yeah.
If it, you know, regardless of what job it is, or maybe there's something in their personal life happening we need to have a chat about, or there's a recent self-tape that we're redirecting. Like, if you're not hearing from us, we've already got an issue. So we need to tackle that now.
Yeah.
So always, if you can't pick up the phone to your agent, that's a huge red flag. No. And similarly, if I feel like I can't speak to an actor, then there's something not working. And that's not always a bad thing. Sometimes relationships don't work out. You could leave us as an agency tomorrow, and next week you could be, you know, the next big thing. Who's to say?
Yeah.
It, sometimes relationships don't work, and that's okay. Yeah. There's no hard feelings, and sometimes it just doesn't work.
Exactly. And for anyone listening who's going, oh, okay, so Georgia said this. This is the be all and end all of all agents. All agents are different, like you've said at the start. You might be looking for a different relationship. Maybe you don't want that really intimate, really personable. Maybe you don't want to share personal stuff with your agent as much.
Exactly.
And find an agent that does that for you. But
exactly, definitely. Because even me and Alex work totally different.
Yeah.
it's so funny.
What do you think your number one difference is between you and Alex in the way that you work?
Oh gosh. Oh, that's a tough question. I think it's funny because we both work very, very similarly, but just different strands. We're both control freaks, she won't mind me saying. We are. And
very
so
familiar to me.
Yes, I think me and you have butted our heads a few times over that. In devising, in drama school.
Oh, definitely.
But it's because we're passionate about the people who we represent and the jobs that come up. So sometimes me and Alex will go, no, I think we should do that this way. And I'll go, oh, well, I actually think we should do it this way. And I can't think of an example off the top of my head. But
no, but that's good.
So actually, even though we work very, very, very similarly, and obviously I've learned a lot from Alex, which is why I am the agent I am today. But even within that, to me, I'm like, oh, actually, I prefer to go around subjects like this and talk to them a bit more, you know, about this bit before we delve into that bit and vice versa. It's hard to get into it without going into specific stories, obviously.
That's really clear, and it's really important, because obviously Alex on her own is a great agent, but why does she need another Alex? She needs someone that brings something new, and you are similar, so you've got the same core values, but actually you're bringing something fresh that maybe Alex had missed, like you said at the beginning, about you see things in clients that maybe Alex doesn't see, and it leads to working relationships that maybe wouldn't have been brought on the book. So it's just really exciting to hear you talk about the relationship with Alex.
It is exciting, and I don't think I actually finished my story of how I got here.
Do you know what? I've thought about that. I was like, we moved on, but yeah, go on, finish that.
So just because it ties into that, really, about, you know, knowing what you're looking for. So obviously, Alex trained as an actor as well. She went to Salford Uni. So we do have very similar backgrounds in that way. So basically, when I was at the cooperative agency, it was when I realised that I actually preferred being in the office than going to the auditions. And even if I had an audition, I would text my friend's like, you need to be going for this, you'd be great for that. And it's like, what?
Who are you?
Yeah. So that's when I realised, oh, there's something in this. And I looked into it a bit more. I started volunteering for a small agency in Manchester while I was still acting and trying to weigh up what I was doing. And then it came to a point where there was an interview going at Regan Manchester.
Yes.
And I had a final recall for a TIE tour, actually. And the interview and the recall were literally within the same week. And I'd built myself up for both of them so much. And I just said, you know, whatever I get here is going to decide which way I'm going. And that wasn't me going, oh, I didn't get the acting job, so I'm going to give up. It was me going, this, it feels like I love them both so equally. That either opportunity, I would be 100% in. Right, I'm all in, let's do it.
Yeah.
And it so happened that I got offered the job. And then a week later, I actually didn't get the acting job. So it wasn't that I lost the acting job first and then got the agent job. It was actually the way around. And I was actually more excited about getting the agent job before I'd even found out about the acting job. So then I worked with the amazing Nicola Bolton and Bryony Pulitzi at what used to be Regan Manchester. Which isn't no more, but it's now Nicola Bolton Management.
Nicola Bolton.
Yeah, because they folded and Nikki has set up an amazing agency.
Go, Nikki.
But from when Regan folded, I lost my job. So I thought, I've lost everything again. I've just found something I love. And a tutor said to me at drama school, if you can love something more than acting, do it.
Yeah.
And I found what I love more than acting, and I'm just very lucky that I am one of those people.
Yeah.
So fortunately for me, Nikki Bolton spoke to someone else in the industry who then spoke to Alex, and Alex sent me a DM on Twitter. Oh. She was like, hey, I've heard you're looking for a job, would you potentially want to interview to come work for me? And I was like, hell yes,
Alex, get me there now.
And the rest is history. But yeah, I'm very lucky that I found this pathway. And you don't get told, this is another thing with drama schools, I think, you don't get given these other opportunities what are available to you in the acting world. It's like, you're either an actor or it's really hard, you know, not everyone will stay an actor forever. Yeah. But they don't tell you what those actors have gone into. Yeah. You know, a lot of our year alone are in production, they're in casting, they're in...
Their agent
roles,
they're,
and that's
you know,
really
producing podcasts. Oh my gosh, who's doing that? Well-renowned drag queens in the Birmingham area. We don't know her. Who is she?
Exactly. So we forget that we need to be open to those opportunities as well. And I am just
and not feel bad
so
about
lucky.
Them.
Exactly. And I think I got a lot of that backlash when I first, even from my mum, she's like, what? Bless my mum and dad, supported me so long throughout my whole acting career. And then I was like, I'm not going to do it anymore.
I'm an agent.
Excuse me, how much money have we put into this?
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm just lucky that I always call this the dream job I never knew I wanted.
That's such a good saying.
It really is.
Go on, give it to us one more time for the gods.
It's the dream job that I never knew I wanted.
Oh, so good.
And I'm very lucky I get to do it with the boss bitch, Alex Priestley.
The boss bitch. We love it. Don't worry, we bleep all this out, so there's a good honker honker
boss
noise.
Boss babe Alex Priestley, that's better.
She is an icon. Yeah. Honestly, Danny has already said she can't wait to listen to this episode, and we're seeing why now, because you're just such a warm and open person, and I think everyone on your books are so lucky to have you, and the same as Alex, because knowing Alex, the little bit that I know of her, you're both very similar, and we're very similar.
You.
And when
I bet you these guys behind me, they don't say that when I'm nagging them for selfie.
Yeah.
6
guys,
o'clock on a Tuesday
I need you
night.
To submit
guys,
immediately.
I need this tomorrow, please.
But before we go, because I can't let you go without asking you this. Really short, quick fire, what are your top bits of advice that you give to people who are looking for representation?
Know who you are and what your skill set is. Know where you want to be, and don't have a time limit on that. Just have an idea of the kind of things you want to be doing and the kind of places you want to be playing. And just be yourself. Like, being yourself is ultimately your USP. What is it that catches my eye? It's you loving yourself entirely. Be unapologetically yourself, and I promise you'll be thanked for it.
Oh, what a mic drop moment. Georgia Padfield, everybody. And you can go onto all our socials now, and you will find an absolutely iconic link to Georgia's socials and to Alex Priestley Talent social, so you can go check them out. Who knows, you might be represented by the lovely Georgia in the future.
You can find the mirror selfies for yourself.
You can find them all at 7 foot mirror. Oh my gosh, we are so grateful for having you. And
no, thank you for having me. It's been so lovely. And you know, if anyone wants any extra advice, feel free to message me. I might not get back to you straight away, but I'm always happy to help and give advice where I can.
Amazing. We'll put all Georgia's details in the post on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, so head over and have a look now. But that's it for this week, and join us next week for Let's Talk Auditions. Danny will be back. We'll have a lot to talk about auditions, I'm sure. But for now, bye.